is Paul, by the way, and it is great to be able to worship together. If I haven't met you, get to serve alongside Pastor Brett. And we're continuing in our series on Psalms. Last week, Brett went into a psalm called a hymn that gives thanks to God from Psalm 8, was one that he talked about. And the series name, or subtitle of this series, is called The Songs of Jesus. And initially, I kind of wrestled with that, and then as Brett and I talked and thought a bit more about that, this whole psalm, 150 writings that we have in our current Bibles today, would have been the songbook of the Israelites. This actually would have been, I mean, remember when we used to have hymn books? Some of you remember church gatherings like that, where we had hymn books? The Psalms would have been the hymn book for the Israelites. And so Jesus, being a Jew, would have known these Psalms and sung them as he gathered together. So that's why we have that little subtitle. And this week, I get to have a bit more of a somber and raw theme of a psalm, as you just heard from Psalm 13, the lament psalms. When do we ever hear this saying, God won't give you more than you can handle? Yeah, you heard it. Some of us laugh at that. Some of us are like, yeah, I believe that. And then something rough happens, and we're like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I thought it says, and some of us maybe even think that's in the Bible, but really, as we read through Scripture, and as most of us can attest, really rough things happen. Really difficult things, even as I look around at my mind, some of you have had miscarriages. Some of you have lost parents or brothers or sisters. You have had a family member commit suicide. Lament songs are for each one of us. From atrocious abuse to violent crime to confusing mental illness, the lament songs are for us as a people. If hymn songs are songs of orientation, lament songs are songs of disorientation sung by those who are in distress. For me, I started learning about the value of lament about 20 years ago, early on in my ministry on the island, and I was given the opportunity to do a number of funerals in the community. I actually knew really well one of the funeral directors in the town I was serving in on the island, and he gave me a call a few different times within about a year as a family son who died in a car accident. Both of the times these sons were between the age of 16 and 18, separate car accidents. And I showed up and I'm like, God, my heart grieves, and I can still remember walking with those families. And thankfully, in my time serving here, and even in the last church in South Vancouver I was at, we didn't do a funeral service for someone in their teens, yet these shocks of death, of car accidents, of cancer, of miscarriage happen all the time. More recently, about 3 years ago, Naomi's dad, my wife's dad, got the news that he had a brain tumor, and that brain tumor was cancerous and it was spreading. And so over the course of about 2 years, he had some brain surgeries that removed the tumor, but over and over, his health was getting worse and worse, and just over a year ago, I remember sitting back there and actually had a leadership council meeting and receiving a call that he passed away. Just this past week, actually, my irony, as Brett and I were talking about the event, I went with my parents to the cancer clinic, as my dad is currently battling cancer. And walking in there, being thankful for my dad's 87 years of really bountiful flourishing life and health, but looking around and seeing many other families much younger in the midst of treatment, perhaps, on that journey of cancer treatment. Through illness, relational turmoil, parenting fails, frustration, confusion that we cannot seem to answer, I realize that laments lead me to a place I need a robust theology. What I mean by that is really I would need to believe and understand that there's a God big enough to handle what I'm going through, So this morning, as we take a few minutes, we're either suffering, or remember, I realize in this room, some of you might be like, man, this is kind of a downer. Wow, we just sang some really cool songs and kind of felt kind of good. And then Paul's like, oh, bringing it down. But I would admit, we are all either in this room suffering right now, or you know actually someone who is. And so I would argue, as we've already read from Psalm 13, and as I've been reflecting on these lament psalms, there's many of them. Some would say there's at least 42 individual lament psalms that you can read through. I won't list them all if you can Google that. But the best way to deal with pain is being blunt with God and then choosing to trust Him. Being blunt with God and then choosing to trust Him. And in a moment, at the end of my message, you have a piece of paper that was handed out to you. We're actually going to give you an opportunity to write a lament psalm. And so if you want, you're welcome to take notes of these three big headings, like you can be able to write a lament to God of your own pain, of your own frustration, of your own angst. And maybe you say, well, I don't really have anything right now, I'm doing fine. Well, you can think of those around you, or over in Ukraine, or in Africa, or downtown the east side, that you can lament for. So the three things that we're going to talk about, I came up with three B's. We're going to be blunt with God, boldly begging, and believe in God. I'll repeat those a number of times. But first of all, looking at the first couple of verses, the psalmist, in this case we hear is David in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The psalmist, David, uses this term, how long, actually four times in a matter of two verses. He says, how long, how long, how long, how long? And really, this repetition reminds us in Scripture, when something is repeated, that writer is trying to get a point across. They're trying to emphasize something, and that's really the emphasis that is on their heart. Like, when is this going to end? Maybe you've been at this point in your life where you have turmoil going on, and you don't understand when it's going to stop. I think of this next phrase where he says, will you forget me forever? There's a sense of connectedness there, but now it has stopped. And David's saying, is this going to continue on? When is this going to stop that we feel this gap in our relationship, God? One writer said, to remember is to act positively towards someone. To forget is the opposite, to hope, to withhold help and comfort. Really, that's a key piece of lament. Is this bluntness as we turn to God and say, God, remember me. God, I'm crying out to you. There is still a connection. We're still talking to God. And I would admit, as I was even thinking recently, this past week, of some of the things that I've wrestled with, how I've stopped lamenting to God. I've stopped turning my voice to God in prayer. And the beauty of who God is He's big enough to handle your raw emotions. I was again reminded of funeral I did for someone else. As I walked into their home, I got this call. A family I've never met before. My friend said, hey, they were really anxious just to have a Christian pastor to come to the funeral. And so I walked into their home, and it was a 35-year-old man, a father of a young, beautiful girl, and an amazing wife. He had passed away from ALS, Meniere's disease. And walking in there, and the man's dad was there, and he just started swearing and started that anger, that raw emotion, the F words, and just brutal, right? So beside himself, and he looked over at me, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. And I said, you know what, Rob? Is what his name was? I said, I know a God who's big enough to handle anything. That's right. That's the type of God. If you read the laments, even Jesus, do you remember what he said in Psalms? Like, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think often in our church environments, we're pretty good at praise, right? Really not that great at confession, but we'll talk about that maybe another week. But honest lament, some of you have been in other cultures, or from other cultures, or been part of churches that kind of got that down a bit, not as a show, but really to be honest. And probably in the Western Christianity here, we kind of say, hey, how are you? I'm fine. Yeah, I'm good. again, David's asking, like, I need connection. God, is this not like a little game of hide and seek, you know, where you play with kids sometimes? This is about fear of judgment. Feeling that we have lost the blessing of God. And so there is this begging for answers in our blood and stuff between the blood. And sure, it's this bit, a bit of a weird tension because we know the Holy Spirit is within us, but we still feel this angst. So then, verse 2, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Next, there's this questioning, how long must I take counsel in my soul? Well, nowadays, there's a lot of focus on self-help. You know, you just should take care of yourself. And David's saying, no, I don't want to take care of myself. I can't handle doing this anymore. And John Calvin references this. It says, he says, it's more of a place of worry where they torment themselves and are distracted by a multitude of thoughts. You ever have to wake up in the middle of the night with a multitude of thoughts? Are you one? Yes. Whatever those thoughts are. And David references this enemy, and it's interesting, in this psalm, we are told who is the enemy he's referring to. In some ways, it gives more permission for us, again, to say, here are multiple enemies that I feel, and that enemy might be voices in our head from the past, people that have said things to us, our own self-doubts of who we are made in the image of God. And so we need to be blunt. But then we move to this place of boldly begging for help. We come to a place of boldly begging, and look in verse 3 and 4, if every Bible's open still, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I smite the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. There is this begging now for help. There isn't certainly simply a complaining, right? Laying it all out there, but there is this being honest. God, here's where I need help. You can answer me. Lest, he says, basically, I die without seeing help happen. Basically, it's going to come to a point of my enemy mocking me, making fun of me, not letting me forget that this has happened. I think we all know the alternative of God not showing up, but here's the stretching part of the lament. That as much as we're going to lay out our continual, really begging God to intercede, and I think that's a great reminder and teaching for us, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on interceding. Keep on. Right? And that's what it talks about in the New Testament. Right? Pray without ceasing. It says, I think, in 1 Thessalonians. And so that's what we're called to do. Not to say, well, yeah, okay, on Sundays I'll start lamenting. No. Every single day that we are continually leaning into God, boldly begging for help, keeping that line of trust and communication open, and laying with our hearts before God. Finally, so we've been blunt with God, we've been honest with Him, we're boldly begging where we need His intercession. And finally, we get to a place actually of belief in God. Verse 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's kind of weird, right, when you read through the Psalms, that there has been this angst, this complaining, this frustration. And then, but God, you're there. Hey, I trust you. I believe in you. And I was thinking about this past week, like, how long did it take for David to write that final? How long did it take for him to say, but, okay, yes. And that word really does change everything, right? That but. Even being in the cancer clinic this past week, asking the doctor, clearly, like, how long is my dad going to live? No, I'm not sure, but he seems to be reacting really well to the treatment he's taking. remember the faithfulness of God in your life? Are you willing to let yourself go there? Are you really willing to be a person who remembers? And I would argue, as we maybe continue to wrestle a little bit with post-pandemic, how much do we really need to gather together on a Sunday, or even midweek with other people in missional communities? Is that really important? I would argue, yes, because I get to hear others singing the gospel, reminding me of the gospel, and saying, oh man, all this is going on. As I look at each one of you and the different things you've shared with me, but also realizing, wow, the stories that are behind your lives is an opportunity again to call on God, but also to remind others, wow, God has been faithful, and He is faithful. Lamentations 3:23, a whole book called Lamentations, a whole book about complaining to God. And yet it says, if you know Lamentations 3:23, it's the verse that talks about how great is your faithfulness, and your steadfast love is new every morning. Can we remember the faithfulness of God? Can we rely on and believe and believe and believe? And not lightly just junk on that. I think that's sometimes that triviality. Well, God's not going to give you too much to you. We're like, that's you. Do you actually know what's going on in my life? Sorry. I'll just say, I swear all the time. This is the weirdest sermon I've ever heard. I'm just in case you're online, re-quoting this. Well, my son is now getting confused. Be honest. Moving you to a place of seeing His faithfulness. Think of Jesus, again, as we end here, who was crucified on the cross. He quotes Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? That is this cry as Jesus knows what's coming,